We are so glad that you can join us for another Bridge for Peace Healing to the Nations podcast with Annette Eckert. Today's episode, God Does Hear You. Here is Annette.
Welcome. I'm Annette Eckert here for Bridge for Peace in our New York studio, bringing healing to the nations through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And today, I know you're going to be encouraged by the testimony and the experiences of my friend, Rich Marcotte. Rich, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me.
Rich, we've been studying together online, Foundation for Healing, and also just listening to people's testimonies, because testimonies are what really give us that living example that God is alive today.
Amen to that.
Working through his people. So what would you want people to hear about today, Rich, of your many experiences with the Lord? What comes to your mind today?
Well, I guess because I knew this interview was coming up, I've been thinking about it a little bit, and I had to be brought back to when I first came to the Lord. I was blessed to have a younger brother who came to the Lord when he was 16 or 17 years old. He's young. I'm the number one in the family.
Okay.
He was number two. So we're close. And we were, you know, typical brothers growing up on Long Island. And fortunately for us, he lived down the block from a fella named Danny Buttafuoco, who is now a pastor here on Long Island in the Bayshore Babylon area. And Danny's family came to the Lord while John was in his mid-teens, and they invited John to church. And John was the type of guy, John's a very intelligent guy, although if he ever hears this, he's not gonna believe I said that. He's a very intelligent guy whose interests varied. He was the only musical one in the family and all. And I just figured this was another 3 to 6 month phase he was going through,
and
his, you know, this discovery of Christianity. And I said, John, in 6 months, you'll be in the airport selling incense in a robe with a shaved head.
Mm.
And then I saw that continue.
Right. So let me just explain that for those that are listening. So that's another religion. Not everybody maybe is necessarily exposed to that religion. But so what you're saying to him actually, Rich, is that right now it's Christianity, then it'll be Hinduism, and then it'll be Hare Krishna, and then it'll be Muslim.
I just figured it was
one thing after the next.
I just figured it was a phase. Before that, it was his music or art or whatever. He's a Renaissance guy. And it didn't stop. And I saw that. And
he held fast to Christianity.
Yeah, he held fast, all right. And he, I think, headed up the Christian Fellowship over at Nassau Community College, and then was a part of it at Queens College. And then he went to Westminster Seminary in Philadelphia and followed that up by furthering his studies all the way over in Vancouver, British Columbia.
Wow, so he, even through his teen years, he became a leader, actually a Christian leader.
Yes.
His love for Jesus.
So, you know, he had a lot of people praying for me. And
you mean you were still resisting, Rich?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, even though I had gone to his church, which I had a great experience the first time I went to the church, heard a very dynamic sermon, invited a friend back for the second time I went, and had a very negative experience. I won't go into that, but it mm-hmm. just kind of turned me off.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the Lord just protected me because, you know, I was a young guy. I just living life and thinking I was a good person. And, you know, not that I was what I would have classified a bad person, mm-hmm. but not really having knowledge of sin and what God really expects of us, how we ought to live our lives, and realizing what the Word says define sin. And hey, I was doomed. I was heading down the road, wrong road.
Okay.
Finally, I had gotten married, and on April 26, 1980, we were expecting, our first child. We had my wife Pam had gone through a miscarriage once, and now here, about 7 weeks before her due date, I came home. I had played ice hockey that night. I played club ice hockey. I came home and she was not feeling well, and I was kind of exhausted. And what do you want to do? And, maybe I'll call the doctor in the morning. I closed my eyes, I fell right to sleep, and woke up to the phone ringing the next day. And I, little did I know, that next day changed my whole life. Mm. As it turned out, we went to the hospital, and her placenta had ruptured. Mm. And all of a sudden, we were in a room with a whole bunch of people, also there to have children delivered. And the doctor grabbed me by the arm, and I'll never forget the grip on my arm. I mean, it just, the seriousness was there. Pulls me out of this room and says, I have to get the baby out of her for her sake, as well as the baby's. Well, I went back into that room, kissed my wife, what I thought may have been a goodbye kiss.
Terrifying.
And I was terrified. And the room was empty. All of a sudden, all these people had been taken out to different delivery rooms. Mm. And all of a sudden, I was in this big empty room by myself. Mm. And I realized the only call I could make was upstairs to this God that my brother had been talking to me about. And I just pleaded with God to save my wife's life. And, not only did he save her life, but, my son Michael was born. 4 pounds, 4 ounces. He was
my
very
goodness.
Small.
Mm.
But I knew. I after I spoke to both my in-laws and my parents and made sure that they knew that, what had happened and that Pam wasn't out of the woods yet, but just that I called John and said, I got to change
Your
my
brother
life.
Brother John.
Yeah, I got to change my life. I can't live the way I've been living. I've got to, God just... I didn't deserve anything from God. Mm. And he answered this prayer. So that changed everything.
Yes.
That was the game changer.
So what did the doctor say?
Nothing really. I mean, my next memory is them bringing out Michael. He looked like a little astronaut in this portable incubator.
Yes.
And, he became my little prayer partner for the longest time, and I've been blessed with 2 more sons, since him. I've had a very blessed life. God has made himself very real to me in a lot of different ways.
You're talking about 1980. We're in 2023.
Yeah, 43 years.
Yeah, 43 years ago, the technology for premature babies was not then what it is today. So what a blessing
yes.
that he grew up strong and,
Yeah. In that I had her. I mean, she was hemorrhaging and,
yes.
it could have been it. I mean, when that doctor grabbed my arm, I knew this isn't a good,
right.
Loving, everything's going to be okay. It's the sense of urgency was in his voice and in his grip.
Yes.
But, I had a different grip put on me that day, too.
Yeah, there's more than one birth that
yeah,
took place
absolutely.
That day.
Absolutely. Oh. And it's been a fun ride. I mean,
Before you go on, let me ask you, what did John say, your brother John? So you called your brother John.
John was, obviously he's happy.
Yes.
Whether he believed me.
Okay.
I think by now the test of time has shown him that, his faith is real.
Okay. So he had the same doubts about you that you had about him originally.
Yes. Yeah, kind
of. But God never doubted either of you.
that's true. And, I guess it was about, maybe 9 years later, I went through just a terrible time in my life. I had moved the family out here in 87. I was working at the Shoreham Nuclear Power Station, and I thought that I had tied down my career future. And Shoreham, they decided not to open it, and in fact, to decommission it. So now my job was basically going to be taking apart what I had worked on for the previous, from 1978 on. And at that same time, my marriage was collapsing. Mm. It was just a terrible, terrible time.
Yes.
Along with that, just the stress of everything. What am I going to do in the future? Do I have a future in my family and everything? I was physically a wreck. I mean, the stress just peeled the weight off of me. My heartbeat went up about 10 beats per minute, you know. I was going through a horrible time. And I guess my walk with the Lord wasn't as strong as it should be. You know, whether I just hadn't progressed in my faith that much, I guess, to be honest about it. And I can remember one night, there was a terrible, terrible thunderstorm. And I took a drive down to Shoreham Beach and just basically walked on the beach and asked God, take me out of this. I just wouldn't have cared at that point. It was just, everything seemed so bleak. Mm. And a couple of days later, I was praying, and I just couldn't even pray. I was just in tears, just crying to God over things. And several things were going on, and God just reached down through all of it and just dragged me up out of the mud, so to speak. And
in that same night, you had that sense of it on
in
the
that
beach?
Same week, in okay, that so. Same, it was, and it just started me on a road. And one of the things I was praying for was that God would bring godly men into my life, as yes. Because I realized, you know, I'm a likable guy. I had a lot of what I thought were friends, but not friends that knew the Lord, not people that could give me godly wisdom or scriptural advice. And I've been blessed incredibly. I'm still being blessed in that area. I can't tell you how happy I am that I prayed that prayer.
That's wonderful.
And more evidence in my life that He is a God who hears, you know.
So tell us, all those that are listening today, Rich, tell us the benefits of having godly men. You said you thought you had friends.
Right.
Tell us the difference between those friends you thought you had and the godly men in your life.
Well, Annette, as I've told you in the past, your brother Kevin is a good friend of mine now. Kevin came into my life, I guess, somewhere between 8 and 10 years ago, maybe a little longer, I don't know. And he is one of the most brutally honest people I've ever met in my life, which is kind of nice. He cuts through all the baloney. He cuts through the chase, and whatever the Lord is speaking to him, he says to you. And there's other men in my life like that, friends, brothers in the Lord, that, you know, not only can we just get together and, you know, do Bible studies or things like that, but they're just friends. And the balance that is added to your life with that, and knowing that just through that friendship, there's a natural accountability for the way that you're behaving. And there's a relaxation. I know when I have a problem, I know who I can go to and count on to get wisdom, good, godly wisdom. That it's in the past, like I said, when I went through the crisis I went through back in 1989, I did not know where to turn. Even though I was praying and you know, doing a lot of things on the surface, like I said, I realized I hadn't grown much in my walk. I knew Jesus was real. I knew He died for me. I knew that putting my faith in Him for my eternity was real. But as far as the application into my life, it just hadn't happened. Mm-hmm. The practical side, mm-hmm. let's say, of our faith. Mm-hmm. So
as the Word says, two are better than one, because Amen. If one falls down, the other can help them up.
Amen. And having brothers that can open up the Word to you when you need it, it's important. And what it's done for me, basically, it's given me a heart for other men when I see them struggling in areas of their life. Mm-hmm. Now, not everybody receives it. I mean, that's just the way it is. And God's a gentleman and doesn't force Himself on anyone.
Right.
But it's because of that I've been able to lead more than one men's ministry since that time. And the joy that you get, as you know, I mean, whenever you're teaching anything, you wind up learning more
exactly.
about what you're about to teach.
Exactly.
And therefore, it's opened up my heart and my mind somewhat to God's ways.
So when you talk about men's ministry, and we might have people that are listening today who would say, wow, that sounds great. I'd like to get together with some godly men, and maybe there's some ladies. I'd like to get together with godly ladies. The
right.
same thing applies, you know, that having someone that you can be accountable to, someone who loves you, who will speak the truth in love to you. What did you find as you led men's ministries through the years? What did you find as a key to gathering people together and walking as a community together?
Well, I think that, opening and closing in prayer, as you know, very, very important. Understanding that God is in the midst of us when we do that, as a group in particular, and God has stated that. I think men are very goal or project focused. It seems to be the way that we're made up. So, when you start a study and you're together working on understanding something in the Word, having people that are working together with you to open up the Word and discuss things, because to not have someone to bounce things off of and realize when your perspective might be skewed is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, no man is an island, they say, and
right.
we already live on Long Island, so mm-hmm. you don't need to be an island within the island.
Mm-hmm.
I've been very blessed in that way, that even in leading studies or certain things that we were into, I've always tried to surround myself with people that I knew loved the Lord. And I've been very, very blessed to get their perspectives on things and have guys say to me, brother, you're looking at that the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And, if you're not prideful, and
right.
kind of the pride kind of got knocked out of me enough times, you know.
I heard that undercurrent of pride, you know, that undercurrent of what your journey to humility has looked like. And I think that that's so key, what you're just sharing, which is the journey to humility, and right now being in a place of humility, of sitting down at a table, everybody opens the Word, we look at the Word together, and we honor each person's perspective as they look at that Word and what that Word means to them, and then we learn, because the Holy Spirit is the one who's bringing the
yep.
revelation, bringing the teaching. And we learn from one another. So we want to encourage everyone who's listening today, we want to encourage you to get together, get a group together, you know, two or three.
Amen.
And open up the Word. It's where are you attracted right now? Do you want to read the Gospels? Is something that Paul wrote that you're attracted to? Where did you begin, Richard? We only have a couple minutes, or not even a couple.
Not even.
We don't even have a couple, so I won't ask you that. What I'm going to ask you to do is to pray. For those that are listening saying, I wish I had a godly friend. I wish I had someone like that in my life. I'm going to ask you to pray for those that are listening we can all use more godly friends.
Well, think about this, Annette. Look at the soldiers that were throwing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the furnace. They died.
Mm-hmm.
Then look at the centurion who said to Jesus, just say it. Just give the order. Okay, so... You know, you look at the people out there that may not have heard of the Lord. You want your life to be a witness of that to them, so that they are open to listening to the Word. So when you're together, and when you seek out fellow believers to get together with, and we're going to pray for that right now, be open to that. Be open to God's leading through His Spirit. So we have about 30 seconds, so why don't we start that prayer? Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, for what you've done in my life. I thank you for the people that you've brought into my life that have just shared with me tremendous wisdom over the years and shared with me the Spirit that God has brought into their lives. I just pray that for every listener right now, that you would answer that prayer and bring those friends. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen. God bless you. I'm Annette Eckhart with Rich Today, bringing healing to the nations through Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Bridge for Peace Healing to the Nations podcast with Annette Eckhart. To learn more about Bridge for Peace or become a partner with the ministry, please visit us on our website, bridgeforpeace.org. If you would like to discover how to pray for healing and understand all that grace provides through the shed blood of Jesus and his resurrection, sign up for our Foundations for Healing course on our website. Also, if you have any questions, please email us at info@bridgeforpeace.org. We hope you join us again next week for another inspiring episode of the Healing to the Nations podcast with Annette Eckhart. This is Scott Silverberg for Annette, saying God bless you, and let Jesus be your bridge for peace.